We're in Simen Tov Mem Ches and Hilchas Pesach. We are up to Siv Gimel. We'll be doing part of that Siv today. Chametz shel Yisrael she'over lov ha-Pesach osur b'hanah. Chametz that was owned by a Jew over Pesach, Chazal went and gave a knas and said that this chametz is not to be benefited from after Pesach. Midaraisa, the person was over on the Yisr of Bal Yirah, but nevertheless the chametz is mutter. Chazal asered the chametz, they made a knas. Says the Mechaber now, Afilu hinicho shogeg. Even if the person was unaware that he had the chametz, it was a mistake. O onus, or he was aware that he had the chametz, but he was totally incapable of getting rid of it. The halacha nevertheless is that Chazal made the knas. The Bir Halacha points out, this is talking about vadai, in the case of Suffolk, we're going to see later, that since Chametz Shavu'ah of a Pesach is also under Rabbanon, there are many sfeikas, cases of Suffolk that Chazal were actually makel in. Now the Mishnah Brura brings a case where a Jew left his grain in a flour mill. And he left it there, and then a non-Jew went ahead, ground his flour on Chol HaMoed Pesach, that's fine, and then went ahead and did him a favor, and he baked all of that flour into bread. So the question is, what happens? It turns out that the Jew's grain was turned into bread by a non-Jew over Pesach, so he owned bread on Pesach. What is the status of this bread after Pesach? It would sound like this is a case of onus, and we said that onus, b'dieved, is aser. Chazal gave the knas. So the Mishnah Brura brings several matirim. First of all, the Beis Hillel says that in this case, one is allowed to have hanon not from the bread itself, but from the money that one can get upon selling it. The Chok Yaakov goes even further. He says there's no way of knowing that this is the actual bread that was baked for the Jew. For all you know, the non-Jew baked him bread and then switched it with other bread. He actually made sure that these are the same loaves of bread that he baked from the Jew's grain. The Beis Meir goes even further. The Beis Meir says that in the case of onus gomer, something that is totally beyond your control to the point that you had absolutely no way of foreseeing that he would turn your grain into chametz, in such a case, Chazal were in gozer. So that even though it says hinicho shogeg o onus, it's still also bahanah, there are various different forms of onus. A case where you had absolutely no ability to foresee that this would be chametz on Pesach, he says Chazal did not give the knas. Now, the next case is, what happens if a Jew leaves his grain in a mill, and the non-Jew tells him, I ground it on Pesach, and I soaked it. Now, if he soaked it, we are machmer, that's lesisa, we are machmer, that it's considered chametz. The question is, does one have to believe him that it was actually soaked, and therefore chametz, or can one be makel and say, well, I'm not quite sure. And besides, I didn't really ask him to do it. So the Chok Yaakov brings that there are several different sfeikas, and therefore one could be makel, whereas the Prima Godim writes that if the norm is that they soak grain before grinding it, then he says that that this is not considered a case of onus, it should have been expected. And not only that, but it's not even a suffix. You know for a fact that that's what they did, and therefore it should be aser. Lamaskana, though, the Prima Godin himself says you can switch it with other flour. And the Sharetzion goes even further, and he says if the non-Jew refuses to switch it, nevertheless you can be makel. Another case discussed in the Bir Halacha is what happens if he had chametz in the house before Pesach and it was stolen. Then after Pesach, the Ganav wants to return it. So the Noda B'Yehuda was matir for the nigzal, the person whom it was stolen for, that he can have hanah from it. The problem is that there are other achronim that found mafurish and rishonim that say that in such a case it's aser. The only one case that we are matir b'di'eved is if the one who stole it was a non-Jew. There we consider it in his rishus over Pesach, and it would be mutter. Now, what about the standard case of chametz shavu'ah of a Pesach, which is that one forgot to sell his chametz, he was planning on it, but he forgot to sell his chametz, but he did bittul, he said kol chamira. He said that all the chametz in his property should be null and void, it should be like the dust of the earth. So he was not over bal yirah d'oraisa. So we're going to see later that there's a machlokas. Once Chazal went ahead and declared that we should not rely on bitul chametz alone, but that we should actually physically destroy or sell the chametz, because we're afraid that when a person says kol chamiro, although he said that it should be like dust to the earth, deep down he may not really mean it, b'lev shalem. Similarly, Chazal were not willing to rely on that, even with regard to chametz shavala v'pesach. The maskana of the Mishnah Brura is that even though it is a machlokas later, in the case of hefsid merubah, if we're dealing with a great loss of money, so there one could be makel like the makilim, but only for hanan, not for achila. It means you should not eat something that chametz that you actually possessed over Pesach, but said kol chamira, and therefore technically you weren't over on bal yirah daraisa. We should be choshish with regard to achila after Pesach. We should be choshish that your kol chamir was not b'lev shalem. Whereas with regard to hanah, if it is really a case of a great loss of money, one can rely on the makilim that since you weren't over bal yirah daraisa, Chazal did not give a knas after Pesach.